It's good to be here this morning. I remember I visited SP 5 years ago, and Pastor Sam was showing me around. I was like, wow, dude, it's nice. You know, I wish I had a building like this. God, you're good to him. What can you be good to me? But anyway, we visited, and I was like, wow. And then, you know, just thinking to myself, one day I'll come and share the word. And sure enough, Pastor Sam emails me. He goes, hey, Bruce, I'm in New York. I said, so? Anyway, so he goes, and I was like, oh, no, man, I'm going to Hong Kong, man, to see you. Because I'm on right now vacation with my wife. My wife's honey is here. Can you stand, honey? Come on, sweet thing. Come on. Woo! There you go. Yeah, we're here for vacation. Our church decided to really bless us. Just take 2 weeks off. This is the first time ever in 13 years our church blessed us. I was like, oh, this thing moves, man. Hey, how you doing? Okay. All right. So, no, it's okay. Cool. So, you know, we're on vacation. So I said, okay, I'm just going to visit. But Pastor Sam says, yo, man, preach the word. I said, yes, sir. I will do that. It's truly a privilege for me to share the word with you. Because we have some few people from Solomon Porch Church come to our church, and they're always bragging about Solomon. I was like, really? You like that church? Our church the same, you know? He goes, no, something about Pastor Sam. Because when I met him first time, yes, he had a tank top, you know, shorts, like a flip-flop sandals, you know. It's like, hey, dude, you know, surf, kind of surfing type of guy, typical Californian, you know. And but, every, you know, the moment I met him, there was something about his spirituality that we connected right away. And from then, you know, we've been friends, and I invited him to speak at our retreats, and, you know, people still remember. There's a lot of stories, but I'll tell you the next time. But anyway, I want to just get straight to the sermon because I have tendency to speak for 2 hours. So I just want to straight get to the text and share the word because I know, you know, we got three services. Man, this is a blessing. We only have one service in our church. But wow, three services, that means your church is truly God is blessing you guys. Praise God. Amen. So today, this morning, I want us to look at 1 Samuel chapter 21. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 21, and let me read for us the text. We're going to look at the whole chapter. Then David came to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech came to meet David, trembling, and said to him, why are you alone and no one with you? And David said to Ahimelech the priest, verse 2. The king has charged me with a matter and said to me, let no one know anything of the matter about which I send you and with which I have charged you. I have made an appointment with the young men for such and such a place. Now then, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever it, or whatever is here. And the priest answered David, I have no common bread on hand, but there is a holy bread if the young men have kept themselves from women. And David answered the priest, truly women have been kept from us as always when I go on an expedition. The vessels of the young men are holy even when it is an ordinary journey. How much more today will their vessels be holy? So the priest gave him the holy bread, for there was no bread there but the bread of the presence, which is removed from before the Lord to be replaced by hot bread on the day it is taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord. His name was Doeg. They should just call him Dog. But anyway, Doeg, the Edomite, the chief of Saul's herdsmen. Then David said to Ahimelech, then have you not here a spear or a sword at hand? For I have brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me, because king's business require haste. And the priest says, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you struck down in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you would take that, take it, for there's none but that here. And David says, there's none like that. Give it to me. And David rose and fled that day from Saul, went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, is not this David, the king of the land? Do they not sing to one another of him in dances? Saul has struck down his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And David took these words to heart and was much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them and pretend to be insane in their hands and made marks on the doors of the gate and let his spittle run down his beard. That's nasty. Anyway, verse 14. Then Achish said to his servants, "Behold, you see the man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to behave as a madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" Amen, amen. Today the title is a spiritual warfare. Now here, David is a type, and he's a type of man who is to be really foreshadowing who is Christ. Now here's a man, we all know David, he's a man after God's own heart. He has experienced God in a way that, you know, that we dreamed of, right? This man has such encounter with God. Not only that, this man is a man of worship. He's a true worshiper. He's a man who started well and finished well in his king, as a king. But in this chapter, what we find is something very troublesome. But we can relate to this story. Because Bible says there is a battle, spiritual battle. Because in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, I'll read it for you. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." In other words, there is a battle going on, spiritually, emotionally. And the world says, no, there's no war, but listen. There is a battle going on. When the evil takes on the form, okay, then it's such as greed, racism, violence, killing. These are forms of evil. Not only that, there is an internal battle. That is hatred, anger, bitterness. You know, the list goes on. There is a battle going on. So clearly, the Bible is not very naive. He said, there is a battle. You need to get ready. You know, I highly encourage you to study the book of Ephesians. Actually, study the whole Bible anyway. But book of Ephesians, because Ephesians is very interesting. Paul oftentimes ends with the benediction, blessing the church. But in book of Ephesians, ends with saying, put on the full armor of God. After he lists who God is, you know, he is the mighty God. Not only that, then in chapter 2, we find that we are all predestined by God and that we are the children of God. Not only that, he talks about the church, and then he talks about marriage, and not only that, he talks about the master and servant. And then right at the end of the book, he says, listen, there is a battle going on in Ephesians chapter 6, and he said, put on the full armor of God. Because Paul knew that there is a battle going on inwardly, but also externally. But in today's world, especially in Western culture, they say that if there is a problem, there is a natural, everything has a natural cause. That means we need to figure this out, right? People says, listen, there's a natural explanation, there's a scientific explanation, right? For example, people say, listen, if we have a problem, there's a psychological explanation, and a psychological factor. For example, you says, perhaps reason why there's a problem, because they're from dysfunctional family. Reason why there's violence and greed and all this, because they're from dysfunctional family. Not only that, they're not well educated. Not only that, there's a sociological, factors. There's a bad social systems. And we say there is a natural cause to everything, and we need to figure this out. And that's how the world thinks. We need to figure this out. But you know what? There is a one liberal, actually professor, who wrote a book. It's called The Death of Satan. What a title book. How Americans Have Lost the Sense of Evil. He is a professor at Columbia University in New York City. His name is Andrew DelBanco. And listen to what he says in his book. He even said he's a secular liberal, okay? He's not a believer. And listen to what it says. In the first line of his book, it goes like this. Quote, "A gulf has opened in our culture between visibility of evil and intellectual resources to cope with it." And he goes on to say this, that we don't believe in cosmic evil, okay, transcendent evil or supernatural evil. In fact, we don't like to use the word evil. And the reason why we don't like to use it is because it implies value judgments and moral absolutes. So we use medical terms. We talk about dysfunction. We talk about pathology. We don't use use moral terminology. As the 20th century goes on, it has gotten harder and harder to say Holocaust, ethnic cleansing, serial killing is just bad psychological and sociological adjustment. We are running out of answer, unquote. We are running out of answer. We cannot say this is just a natural cause. We got to figure this out. We're running out of answer. And he's right. He's not even a believer. Bible gives us answer. There is a battle going on, internally but externally. Now, in 1 Samuel 21, what we find, now here's a man after God's own heart. We see he experienced physical battle. Yes, he went out in the war. Everywhere, every time he goes to war, he wins. He has there's a favor of God, and he sensed that. He knows. But now, this time, he's facing a different battle. Battle within his own soul. Battle within, so-called, within the church. What happened here in 1 Samuel 21, what we see, David is lying. We only know David as a man who committed adultery, who committed murder, right? But we never talked about how this man, he lied. He lied to get his to escape from this battle that he's right now facing. And what is this battle? Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 20, kind of gives that clear explanation. Because he is now, David is talking with Jonathan, right? Jonathan is the King Saul's son. And right now, David's saying, listen, Jonathan, what have I done wrong that your father is coming after me? King Saul is very jealous right now because he's now Saul, King Saul now sees that David, the favor of God is upon David, right? And just every time, wherever David goes, there is a favor and he wins and the battle, none of the people begin to recognize him. They're dancing, prophetically prophesying. He's the one, you know. They're just really rejoicing. They sense the favor of God upon this man. So now King Saul is getting, he's jealous, he's angry, he's envious. So he's ready to kill David. So right now he's talking to Jonathan. Jonathan, what have I done to your dad? I am very loyal. I am faithful. I'm giving everything. I'm so committed, devoted to your dad, to his kingdom work. Why would he come after me? Why would he want to kill me? Sorry, church, I just wanted to inform you, in case my decibel goes up, that means I'm excited, not angry, okay? Just giving you a heads up, all right? So, you know, he said, I just don't understand. So in the midst of this, instead of going to God, because David should have known this, because he was the one who true worshipers when he was young. So he knew how to be in the presence of the Lord. Instead of going to God, he takes the matter to his own hands. And we see David making mistakes after mistakes. But this leads to a lot of battle that's going on within our soul. Look at this. Now he's, right now Saul is coming after him. But now how does David take this, how does he resolve this issue? Right away, we see in chapter 21, verse 1, he gives the answer. Then David came to Nob, to Ahimelech, the priest. As you know, priest is always in the temple to minister to God. And temple is where the presence of God dwells. In other words, this man, rather than trying to run to cave, which he does in many other chapters, instead of running to his friends, his buddies, rather he runs to the temple of God. In other words, when you're faced with spiritual battle, inwardly, outwardly, spiritually, physically, first thing we find here, David go to seek the very presence of God. Now, I want you to know, now in Mark chapter 9, what we find is something very interesting. Because we thought, hey, listen, God, if I seek the presence of God, everything will go well, you know? But why is it that we have a hard time going to seek the presence of God? Because what we find in Mark chapter 9, we see Jesus in the Mount Transfiguration. We see a man coming after his son who is demonly possessed. And he, you know, the father took to the Jesus' disciples and said, listen, can you cast out the demons? Because before chapter 9, we find chapter 3 and 6, Jesus sent them out two by two. Go. And what did he say? Go cast out the demons, heal the sick, and preach the gospel. And every time they go out, man, as soon as they preach the gospel, when they cast, you know, when they see demonic activity, they cast them out. Everything is working out just well. You know, demons are obeying. All the people are sick, getting healed. So clearly for his disciples, oh man, this formula is working. What our master says is working fine. Every time we call out the name of Jesus, it's happening. Demons are being cast away. Hey, this is it. But when the father of a son who was demonly possessed brought his son to his disciples, this time, disciples couldn't do anything. They were casting out, in Jesus' name, nothing's happening. His son's still going, you know, whatever, right? So literally, right now, his disciples are going like, wait a minute. All this time, our master have taught us how to cast out demons, and everywhere we go, whenever we call out the name of Jesus, preach the gospel, all the people healed, I mean, people were sick, got healed, now the demons were all cast out. Why this time it doesn't work? What happened? We did everything what Jesus says according to his word, what he says, why it's not working. Now, I was in Thailand for a mission trip. And every Wednesday they have a service. So our team decided to help service, so we were there. We gather around, and then we form like a 4 or 5 circles, and each one of us have to lead. So I was like, all right. So I was leading one group, and suddenly one guy would start coming in. And this guy is like Book of Ezekiel chapter 37. Bones with flesh, that's it. Because this guy had a stomach cancer. They removed the stomach, so he had no food, only the flesh and the bones. He's coming like this, right, with the assistance of 2 people. And I thought he was going to sit down, but he comes right next to me. I'm like, okay. And he goes like, and he started holding my hand to pray. I was like, all right, all right. So I thought, okay, if I grab him too hard, I'm going to crush his bones, so I better not do that. So I gingerly touch his hand like this, all right? All right, we're going to pray. So we're praying, and suddenly this guy started holding my hand. I was like, oh, yeah? Okay, I guess spirit is moving, all right? And then he started holding my hand, and then next thing, he started getting stronger and stronger. To the point, I'm like, uh-oh, something's not right. Oh, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's go. So we're praying. I was like, Instead of praying, I was just trying to be stronger than him because he has such a strong grip. And then next thing, he outdo me. He almost crushed my hand instead of me crushing his hand. I was like, Lord, something is not right here. And I was like, Lord, help me, Lord. And then suddenly he starts swinging. I'm like, oh, God, we're in trouble. And he starts making noise. I know how Thai speak. I mean, the people speak. But this ain't Thai, Lord. What's going on here? I mean, Thai, what's going on here? And then suddenly he goes, and he's getting violent. And then next thing, I'm like, okay, I got to open my eyes. What's going on? His eyes start rolling. He's foaming his mouth. I said, Lord, this is a demonly possessed person. What's going on here, God? And I need you to understand, I'm a Presbyterian, okay? I was ordained as a Presbyterian. Blessed Presbyterians. Amen. Praise God. Anyway, so what happened? I said, God, theologically, this does not make sense. There should be no demon-possessed person. What's going on here? I'm like, oh, my God. All I know is Book of Acts. You know, you cast out the demons in the name of Jesus. Okay. So my team members saw that I was struggling. So they came and grabbed me. I said, listen, Bruce, let's just put this guy down. And all the village people were just looking at us. Let's see what these fools can do. So we're like, oh, my God. And then he started going crazy. So we're praying. And then 7 of us were praying. Even missionary was there praying. We were praying everything in the name of Jesus. We went through the Bible A through Z. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. In the name of Jesus. We were pointing finger. I was doing all this. I was so scared. I closed my eyes. I don't want to see. Lord, I don't want to see. But I just want to pray in the name of Jesus. Something ought to work. And nothing was working. He is going crazy. And the people, once again, the village people are like, what this fool is going to do? We're like, Lord, have mercy. And then I just opened my eyes. I don't want to look at it. I got so scared. I looked up. God, this doesn't make sense. I'm just going to worship you. And I started worshiping God. I was singing and I was worshiping. And then all the teams were so helpless and hopeless. Like, listen, man, let's just worship. So we all start joining and we start singing together. And then suddenly this guy stops. He just stops. And then I'm like, I don't want to look at it. I'm so scared. Just keep on, man. Let's worship. And then that night we got together and said, guys, what happened here? Why this guy, why couldn't we cast out the demons? Because we acknowledge that this was a demonic possessed person. Why couldn't we not cast them out? What happened here? We went through the Bible, man. We're Presbyterians. We should know. Just kidding. Right? So we're like, oh my gosh, we should know at least some theology or whatever. Yeah, I know about this stuff. What's going on here? It's not working. But what we have learned is this. Satan knows how weak our prayers are. And what he does, he's kind of blindfolding you. Just maintain, look at that only. Focus on this. And he just, you know, just constantly just look at it, look at it. That's it. He magnifies the issue. But when we're worshiping God, that's when we fix our eyes on Jesus. And that's when it was over. In Mark chapter 9, it was exactly the same case. And, you know, we see in chapter 9, toward the end, what we find, the disciples go to Jesus and say, Jesus, wait a minute. They were, you know, they were so proud. They don't want to ask in front of the public. Like, Jesus, why can't we not cast out the demon this time? And then Jesus says something very, very profound. He says, these things can only be happened through what? Fasting and prayer. In other words, only way you can overcome the spiritual battle in your life, you need to seek the very presence of the Lord. You cannot depend on the presence of yesterday. You need to seek the very presence of God every single day. If you think, oh, God, you know what? I experienced this in retreat. I experienced it this, you know, last past Sunday. If you're looking at the past blessing and past presence, you're missing out. Bible, matter of fact, says this. His what, faithfulness is new, what? Every morning. That means you need to seek the Lord for his presence daily. And that's how you overcome, I mean, fight the battle. So Jesus saying, listen, you want the, you know, the battle? Yes, you can overcome it. You can fight it. You can fight on head on. But you need to seek the very presence of God. And the second thing what we find here is very interesting. So, you know, David's now hungry. He's like, oh, my God, he's lying. He's not telling the truth, right? Gosh, David, you're a man after God's own heart. Why would you lie, David? Why can't you tell the truth? Here we are as a readers. After many, many centuries years later, we're reading this. I said, David, how can you do this? You're not being a good role model here. But I really believe the story here really is for us to listen, because we are just like David, right? We are all chosen by God. We are very special people. We are righteous because of Jesus Christ. But we lie, trying to fudge our ways when there's a problem. We lie, you know, we try to make up stories. We try to, you know, manipulate people, do everything we can to get our own ways. Whatever mistakes we make, we're trying to fix it up with our own ways. And that's what's happening with David. He's trying to fix his own way, and what happened? He's getting worse and worse. Now, look at what's going on. He's getting worse now. Look at this. And he's been running away from King Saul, so he's hungry. And look at verse 6, right? When David asked for the bread, look at how priests respond to him. He says this, so the priest gave him the holy bread, for there was no bread there but the bread of the capital P presence. This is a Leviticus chapter 24. What we find there, God says, listen, the bread is to be there freshly every day to minister before God. Only the priests are to take that bread and to minister and to eat that bread. Now, here's David. You and I know he's not even king yet. He's just right now being faithful, loyal servant to Saul, but he's not even king. He's not a prophet. He's nothing right now. But here is a man. He said, I am so hungry. Just give me that bread, right? He takes the bread and he eats it. Now, according to the Mosaic law, anybody who violates the law, you must die. You must stone them to death. Now, hold up, thou. I mean, sorry. Just once in a while, this ghetto slang comes out, all right? Anyway, wait a minute. Hold up. David didn't die. We don't find anywhere in this text that this man died. Hold up, man. Ho. Now, liberals will say, you see why we cannot trust the Bible? There's an inconsistency. There's an inconsistency in the Bible. Why would God contradict himself? Before we pass the judgment on this, folks, hold on. All right. If you look at Matthew chapter 12, what we find is this. This is when Jesus now and his disciples, you remember, Jesus is still under the Old Testament. That means he's still under the law. He didn't die yet. So he's under the Old Testament. That means he has to observe the Sabbath. But he's breaking the Sabbath because he and his disciples are going around and we find the famous story where he takes the grain and these guys are great. They're so hungry they were eating. So the Pharisees and these teachers of law are so angry. They're ready to kill Jesus, just like Saul wants to kill David because out of jealousy, out of envious, I mean, everything. the teachers of the law are doing the same thing out of jealousy, out of threatening of their power, of their position, and they're ready to kill Jesus. They're finding a way to kill him. So finally, they saw Jesus violating the law of Sabbath. And listen to how Jesus responds to them in verse 3 of chapter 12, Matthew. He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests." You see, now Jesus, out of all the stories that he could have used to reference about his justification of what he has done, he goes back to 1 Samuel chapter 21. In other words, once again, David deserved to die. You need to die, David. Why? Because you broke the law. Leviticus chapter 24. It was only for the priest to eat. You are not a priest, David. You're not even king yet. And yet you violate the law. God should have killed him. Let him get killed. Now, once again, did God, is he contradicting himself? Is God being consistent? There's something wrong with this. But once again, Jesus used the story of 1 Samuel chapter 21 to remind us that in order to fight the beggar, he knows that we all, you know, fail God miserably. He knows we're weak. He knows our thinking. He knows our every motives. But what we find here, the way you fight the spiritual battle, number one, you need to seek the presence of God new every day. And the second thing we see here is this, that God sustains you with his grace. He sustains you with grace. The word Sabbath means rest, right? In the book of Hebrews. So what we find is that rest. Rest means peace. When you're fighting in the battle, only God, when you seek the very presence of the Lord, you begin to experience this peace, which is a sustaining grace. I'm sure many of you have faced many battles. I do every single day in my church. Oh, have mercy. Is it getting recorded? Oh, my church people are going to see. That's fine. I love my people. But every time I go to Sunday service, you know, meet people, man, they give me a headache. New Yorkers, man. Woo-hoo. You know? But I'm telling you, every time I face battle, the Lord, I'm not saying just because I'm a pastor. I'm a human being just like you. And I face this bitterness, anger, hatred, pride, jealousy, you name it. I face this every single day. It's right in front of my face. And the only thing I can say to you right now, I can testify to you, I could tell many, many stories. I'm sure many pastors have stories. To the point, I was going to quit this church. God, I can't take it anymore. I was going to throw the towel in and say, "Hello, Lord Jesus, take it, bye-bye. I'm done. I cannot stand New Yorkers." But more and more God has taught me, during that time, the most darkest time, when I sought after God's presence, that's when the sweet, sustaining grace was upon me. You know, because you have to understand, I'm a fob. You know what that means, right? You all know what that means. Fresh up the boat, right? That's me. In New York City, these are all intellectual guys, just like all of you are very intellectual, very highly educated people, well in career, you just like New York. And my people look at me and say, "Pastor, but your sermon sucks. You know, you're bad, blah, 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 blah. You know, you're a fob. You know, we don't understand your English." I was like, "Too bad." You know, anyway, you know. But that's when the Lord really granted me that just such a sustaining peace in my heart that nowhere in the world can give it to me. Nothing. And then the Lord has just reminded me of it again, "Son, as you seek, when you come into my presence, you will begin to experience of my sustaining grace." So what, instead of contradiction, instead of, you know, inconsistency, already Jesus was reminding us, the Bible's teaching us, he desired more of grace. His desire is to sustain you, is to bring you up, to empower you more than to destroy, not only that, to make you more broken. His desire is to restore and to sustain you. So clearly what we find here, even though we may see this sound like, wow, this is inconsistent, but we see Jesus saying, Bible's teaching us that his desire is of grace more than the law. So, and then there's another interesting story, going on here. And then, you know, David should have learned his lessons. Not only that, even the priest should know him better. He's a priest. He should have known that he shouldn't give the bread to David because that was only for the priest. Now, not only that, now David goes, okay, you know what? I need a sword. I need to protect myself. So he asked for the sword right here. We see in verse 9, and the priest said, the sword Goliath, the Philistine, whom you struck down in the valley of Elah, behold, it is wrapped in the cloth behind the ephod. If you'll take it, for this is none but that here. Now you have to understand, this sword is a sword that we all know the story of, the famous story, you know, in 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's about David and Goliath. You remember that story? Right? I remember, I love this story. I'm a worship leader, so before I got married, you know, I was a single guy, you know, just excited for any sisters that looks really hot, you know what I mean? But I went to a Sunday school, and I became a praise leader. And we had a very famous song. It's called, you know, If I Was a Butterfly. Okay, you don't have to know that song. So I used to sing that song, and then, you know, I lead praise for the kids. And then there was Sunday school teacher who gave sermon on 1 Samuel chapter 17 and David and Goliath. She was so, hot mama. So I was looking at her. I was like, whatever she said, I was just soaking in. Yeah, I agree. But now I come to the point, like, I learned now, I got a little wiser, and I hope I'll grow in the Word. I realize, oh my gosh. I remember she said this, children, you know, God loves you. You see David was just like you, little kids. And he faced a giant, and God used him, take the stone and just threw it at him, and then giant went, woo, he died. So God can use you. And little kids go, yeah. Even me, big kid, like, yeah. You know, I'm just following her, and I was like, oh, that's good. And what I realized, oh my gosh, the more as I was studying 1 Samuel 17, what I realized is this. It's not David because he was like, oh, the young guy with the, you know, slingshot and just throwing it. That's the focus, and we tend to use that. I'm sure you heard many sermons on that text about, you know, we could face giants in our lives and all that. Listen, the moment Goliath cursed Israel's army, when he cursed God, the battle was over already. How do we know that? In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, we find there, God made it very clear to Abraham. He says this, I will bless those who bless you. And he said what? I will curse those who curse you. In other words, God's promise stands. The moment Goliath cursed God, the battle was over. David didn't have to do this. He's going to say, yo, dog, come here for a minute, giant. Who do you think you are? Wha-pah! He's done. All right? That's it. He didn't have to do any of this stuff, but because that's what he used to do to kill, that was his skills. But you know what? Clearly, what we're reminded, God is saying, the way you win, fight the battle. You need to seek the presence. Not only to understand, God is the one sustaining his grace, peace upon you, but also you need to trust the very promises of God. The promises of God. You are beautiful. You are chosen, you are righteous. Not only God says, listen, I have plans for you, and that plans will be fulfilled. Even though you may not see it, God will come through. Right now, I am 50, and you know, I'm thinking half of my ministry, I got 10 more years. Ain't nobody want to listen to 60-year-old man, right? So I was like, Lord, I got only 10 more years. Well, what's going to happen to me? And then more and more as I think, I said, God, you know what? I got to finish well. How am I going to finish this, God? Because every time I look at myself, you know, I see a sense of very negative, you know, because I was raised, I was under the dictator. Okay, so, you know, I'm like, God, so the fear, performance, pleasing men, you know, make sure the outcome, productivity, everything has to be great or else I fail the ministry. That's how I was trained and discipled. So therefore, I need to perform. I need to do well. In order to unwind this and trying to really, you know, constantly, you know, trying to work on that, it was hard because as you get older, it's hard to change. Older people, you know what I'm saying? Okay, we're all young people. All right, fine. You know, bottom line, it's so hard to change. God, I know who I am. I am a child of God. I am man of God. But Lord, but there's a fear of man, fear of performance. I need to perform in order to make it. You know, church people saying, we're paying you, Pastor Bruce. Come on now, perform, right? So I get that pressure all the time. I said, God, how am I going to finish this? Because you know what? After 13, 14 years of church ministry, you say the same thing over and over again. Hey, people say, I heard that sermon before. Oh, I know what you said before. I know your spirituality. I know your laughter. I know your accent too. I know everything about you. They know everything. I said, God, how am I going to finish this? But more and more, God reminds me, son, do you not understand? When you're trying to be so, I went through darkness in my life after 9 years when I was about to quit this ministry. I said, God, I can't handle this church anymore. That's when the Lord really showed me a panoramic view of my life, literally. And he was showing me this, son, this who you were, look at how you have now becoming, and this is where you're going to be. And reason why I was struggling in the dark time, because I trying to be someone that I am not. I trying to be more intellectual when you're not. When you're trying to be all like English, hey, proper English, it's not. I mean, I tried everything, and I realized I was so miserable. God says, son, I made you this way. This is who you are. This is who you are, son. You're a man who ran after me, and you move in my spirit, in my power, and you're trying to be all that without me. This is what happens to you. But God sustained me with his grace, peace, and now finally come to realize after 50 now, God realized there's no turning back for me now. I'm going forward. I'm going with the very promise. God, who I am as a senior pastor, that's just a, Lord, just a title. But as a son, as a child of God, that very promise, I stand on it. Positionally, I am your son. I'm a good son. I am the man. God, I am your son, and I'm going to do it, Lord, because you call me to do this. And sure enough, God, you know, every time I think about our church, right now we have about a good 450 people coming, and I'm always wondering every day, I was like, how in the world these people come to our church? We have incredible churches around, Hillsong, Redeemer Army, Lord have mercy. Man, Hillsong people line up just to go to that church service. I'm like, my church, like, people coming late. I was like, come on. You know, why are you? There's no waiting list. Come on, just keep on coming. I was like, darn it. But Lord, how am I going to finish this? That's when the Lord reminded me, son, understand. It is my promise to you. You're not the one who's doing this. I'm the one who's going to make you to fulfill that. And David, what we see here, as soon as he looked at the sword, he goes, that's right. It was a reminder for him that battle belongs to God. That promise, presence, and the peace, he realized this is the battle of God. And that's what that sword was a reminder for him, that battle belongs to the Lord. So by the time, if the verse 7 in this text, if it ended there, then it would be a perfect story, like, yeah, that's it. But David still haven't learned his lessons yet. Look what happened now. And then I'll end with this. And David rose, verse 10, and fled that day from Saul, went to Achish, the king of Gath. Now, you know what Gath is? Gath is where Goliath is from. Now, David, what were you thinking? Not only you broke the Mosaic law, now you're going to the enemy territory? Do you think enemies going to say, wow, you killed our giant. Welcome to our territory. They will kill you, man. What were you thinking? You know, this is what I, just my just few interpretation of that. I think, you know, oftentimes we say, God, deliver me from where I am. We all pray like that, right? When we're in that rut, God, please, you love me, right? Come on, Lord. Why are you so slow? Deliver me right now, right? And oftentimes, God, like, this is like I'm talking to in the wall. Like, God, are you there? You know what I realized? Reason why God is delaying, even though he's not delaying, it looks like delaying, is because God wants you to know that if he pushes you out of that place, you're going to think that you have done it on your own. Oh, I did it. Yes, because I was good. I prayed and still for I got there. But rather, God said, I want you to know, I'm making you stay there for a reason, because I want you to fight with my strength, not your strength. You need to trust me that I am God who is good, and I will keep my promise in your life. So here now, David goes to enemy territory, and then listen. And then verse 12, and you know, when people were like acknowledging, oh my God, isn't this the guy who killed tens of thousands? Verse here in 11, right? Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000. So David now got exposed now. His identity has been revealed. So he started getting scared, like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And then he, once again, he hasn't learned his lessons yet. He started acting stupid, foolish, right? Why would David act so foolish at this time? Well, he's trying to get away from the enemy, of course. But listen, what we find here, David and our Lord Jesus Christ has one thing in common. They both were foolish. Even Jesus was foolish. David was a fool to save for himself. Jesus was fool to save the world. The difference between David and Jesus, what we find here, is that David, he was acting foolish, you know, just, you know, trying to get away from his problems and he's in trouble. So he trying to act foolish to save for himself, for Jesus, act foolish to save the world. In 1 Corinthians, what we find here, listen very carefully. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I think we all know that text very, very well. It says this in verse 18, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is power of God. It is power of God. In other words, folks, God is saying, listen, the way you fight your battle, you need to seek the very presence of God. You cannot depend on the presence of yesterday. No, you cannot depend on the person next to you. Yes, we are Christian. We are to help each other. But this, you cannot depend on this. You got to say, God saying, listen, you need to seek the very heart of my heart. And when you seek the presence of God, you begin to experience the grace, sustaining grace, because you know you cannot do this on your own. God is sustaining you. He knows how imperfect, how wrecked, how filthy, dirty people we are, but yet he's sustaining us with peace, sustaining us with his love. That's his grace. And then he's realizing, I mean, and reminding us the way you fight. You got to constantly remind yourself of the very promises of God. That means you got to go back to Scripture. Remember the promises. Don't just say, oh, I fail, you know. No. Yes, you fail. But it is his love that brings you back. It is his grace that will constantly restore you and sustain you. And then lastly, just understand the power of the cross, the power of the foolishness of the cross. Because when people saw the cross, it is foolish. Why would this man who called himself Messiah would die? David, in a hand, he was just, you know, saving himself and acting foolish to save himself, to get walk away, running away from these people who are coming after him. But Jesus acted foolish to save, to redeem those who are his. And we have a Savior who fights on our behalf. We have a Savior who wants to say, I will deliver you. But you need to seek my presence. You know, as I was in Hong Kong with my wife, I was like, good night, this is incredible. Man, we loved Hong Kong, we loved the food. But one thing we were struggling, the weather. I'm like, good Lord, this is hot and humid. You know, and then I was just walking around, I was looking at people. I said, God, I see all these people who are Buddhists, and we saw this lady was chanting the Buddhists and all that. I said, Lord, you love them. You care for them. You love all these people. You love your people. God, I pray all the more, God, as your church, as your children, as we engage in this world, Lord, help us to be your people of your presence. Help us to continue to, Lord, depend on you. Depend on, not only that, to, Lord, really seek the very just receiving the promises of God. And not only that, I was just praying, God, that your grace may just continue to sustain your people in the midst of all these, you know, spiritual war and emotional war. God, sustain your people. by the work, by the foolishness of this cross that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So can we pray right now? Right now, perhaps some of you are facing the battle. The battle of negativity, a fear of man, fear of performance, fear, God, will you really come through as you say in your word? A lot of us are driven by fear. Even David was driven by fear. But what we find in this text, that when we come and when we seek the presence of God, we are able to face this battle. Because God will sustain us with His grace. He will sustain us with His peace and love. Because Jesus is the true Sabbath. We can rest in His promises. His promise will come through. No matter how long it takes, He will come through because He is so true to promises. He is promise maker and He's a promise keeper. And He will fulfill through your life. Not only that, He will fight on your behalf. He knows the fears. He knows your inner anger, hatred, jealousy, the list goes on. All these dark emotions that you face. God knows that. But He will come with the sower of love, sower of forgiveness, sower of true grace to destroy, to help you to overcome it. And we saw that on the cross, when our Lord Savior was foolish, but it was foolish not to save Him, it was not for Him to save His own life, but to save us, who are such filthy sinners like us. He came to save. He died, and He's risen. Therefore, we can face this world. We can face the fear. We can face all the spiritual battle head on because our Jesus is our warrior. So at this time, just go to God. Say, Lord, here I am, God. I am seeking for Your presence. I need Your fresh presence, God. And I want you to know, when we say presence, it's not just an emotion. It's not just an experience. When we say we seek the presence, we're talking about seeking the person of Christ. That's what we're going after. And right now, I want to just share one practical way of doing that. Just adore God. Even in your darkness right now, just adore Him. Acknowledge the very attributes of God. How faithful, how good, loving, precious God He is. Just acknowledge Him. Just adore Him right now. That's how you seek the very presence of God. So let's do it right now. Just acknowledge Him right now. Over your, whatever the circumstance you may be, just acknowledge the very attributes of God. Just adore Him right now. Yes, Lord. Come, God. Holy Spirit, yes, we want person of Jesus Christ right now. Come, Lord, we love You. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus, You are good. You are good, Lord God. You are good, God. You are merciful, God. Holy Spirit, we ask that, Lord, that you would just reveal more and more the person of Jesus Christ right now. Lord, deep breakthrough, Lord God, of all the fears, of all the, Lord God, hardness of the heart. We ask right now, Holy Spirit, as we seek the very person of Christ, Lord, we declare the very promises. We declare your sustaining love and your grace. Yes, God. Breakthrough, Lord. Breakthrough. Even the doubts. We ask right now, Holy Spirit, that you will break through. May the promises of God come through. Reveal, Lord God. There's a disconnect from our head to the heart. God, I pray right now, Holy God, that you would just bring it together. Lord, let us sink together. Let it be in sync. So that, Lord, as we walk out this, Lord, sanctuary, that we will walk with such confidence knowing that Jesus is our warrior. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God.
The mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow.
I just want to give an opportunity for Holy Spirit to move. And you know, as Pastor Bruce was preaching, I kept getting the same scripture over and over, and it was Philippians 4:6-7. Therefore, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request be made known to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And I just kept getting this same picture of sometimes as people of God, we continue to run before him and say, God, I need this. I need this. Give me the answer so we can go and kind of live our life. But I felt like God was really speaking to us today. And exactly what Pastor Bruce was saying. See, God often doesn't give us the answer, but he gives us his son. He gives us his peace. So that we can continue in whatever it is that he's placed us into for our good. And so I felt like today, if this is you, I felt like God just really wanted to minister this morning. Maybe you're going through a time right now where you feel like, God, I just can't do this anymore. I'm just not enough. I worry about my job and how I'm going to get through it. I worry about how I'm going to provide for my family. I worry about what people think of me because of what I do. I feel like God this morning, he's going to give you a touch of the Spirit. And I feel like he's going to release the blessing of the Son of God over you. Meaning, no matter what you're going through, you're going to find peace. And he's going to give you the strength to get through what you're going through today. And so if this is you, right, this is just between you and God, I just want you to stand up, and we're going to pray for you. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit just to come and to minister the presence of God over you. So the peace of God that transcends all understanding, meaning the peace of God that is greater than whatever issue, the problem, he's going to come. The person of God himself, he's going to come. And he's going to give you all that you need. And so if this is you, just stand, right, with every eye closed. You're just saying, I just need a touch of God today. I just need the Lord to come and to fill my heart, to give me that little bit of strength I need for today to get me through. Amen. And so church, let's be the church. Let's go pray for our brothers and sisters in this way. Now, those of you that are standing, you know what we always say, right? You don't need to pray. You just enjoy. But church, what I want us to pray for today is I want us to pray for the hope of God to come. Remember, Pastor Rob preached about biblical hope. See, hope is not in the answer. Hope is not in knowing what to do next. Hope is not in understanding our situation. It's only in the hope that Jesus is our deliverer. And so let's pray over our brothers and sisters today. Let's pray for the hope of God to come. That is Jesus. Come and be their hope. And so as Kaylin leads us, let's bless our friends. And so church, look around us. Find our brothers and sisters. Let's really minister to them in this way. He's here right now. I just get the sense of the presence of God. And I felt like he's just asking us to do one thing right now. It's to replace our thoughts with Christ. And what I feel like God is saying is this. There's a lot of things you got to think about. There's a lot of things you got to understand as to how to do it. I think God understands that. But I feel like what he's saying is, if you would just let me take over your mind right now. If you would just let me take over your thoughts, take over your emotions, take over everything that you think you need, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to give you everything you need. And so as the team leads us just one more time, I just want to invite us, just let go right now. Everything that you think you need and you're thinking about, just say, Jesus, I give it to you. And instead, Lord, take my mind. Take my heart, take my spirit, take my need, and I feel like God's just going to bring you peace. And so just one more time. Father, we just want to confess that you are good. Father, we want to confess that you are for us, God. You're not against us. Father, we want to confess, God, that that lie that Satan's been telling us, God, you're withholding goodness from us is not true. Lord, you are not withholding from us, God. You are with us in our pain. You're with us in our suffering. You're with us when we don't know what to do. And Father, we trust, God, that you are allowing whatever is happening in our lives, God, for our good. And so, Lord, we confess Psalm 16:2 to you. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord, and I have no good besides you. Father, we have no hope outside of you. We have no joy outside of you. We have no goodness outside of you. And so, Lord, we are desperate for your Son to come. Come, Holy Spirit. Let the peace of God that transcends all understanding, God, our understanding, the world's understanding, God, our family's understanding, God, let your peace come and guard our hearts and mind, God, and so that the only hope that we have is in you. And so, God, I lift up my friends here today. I pray, God, that whatever situation they're going through today, God, I pray not only, Lord, the peace of God, Lord, but Father, let your Son just walk into their thoughts right now. That, Lord, that they see you in all that is happening around them. So that they know, God, that they can trust you. That they are not forgotten, Lord. That they're not just left by the wayside to suffer by themselves. But God, that you are with them in their midst. So that, God, they can walk, Lord, and release all fear. Everything that they think they need, and to say, Lord, you take control now. You lead the way. And as I pray, as they do that, God, let there be such a deliverance in their heart. Where before, God, there was fear, let there be joy. Where before, God, there was worry, God, let there be peace. Where before there was hopelessness, God, now let there be your Son, the ultimate hope. Thank you, Jesus, God, that you are our hope. Thank you, Lord. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. From this day forward, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're praying for your friends and you feel like you continue to need prayer, right, the altar is open, right? If you're finished, you know, we just want to dismiss you, but don't rush what God is doing in your heart. Let Him continue to move and to give you that peace. Bless you guys.